2. It's a new day here at 1180 WFYL. So almost 7 minutes past the hour. Happy Thursday to everybody out there. It is the 5th day of February, and it's a little chilly out there, although yesterday seemed to have some spring-like conditions, a little taste of spring. It felt like that groundhog was pretty mixed up on Tuesday or Monday. I want to thank everybody for listening to the program this morning. My name is Andrew Turner.
I'm Susan Locke.
And this is Al Locke.
We're going to be bringing you the news this morning. We've got Michelle Faustin coming in at around 7:30. She'll be... Susan, what's her program called?
It's called Accelerating Your Business.
That's right. And it talks about people moving from a transitional period in their businesses. So that should be pretty interesting. If you're a small business owner out there, definitely pay attention. Or if you just like to think about that kind of stuff, pay attention anyway.
Yes, please call in and ask Michelle questions. We have a operator standing by to take your calls, so please do that.
You can also email your questions to her at askmichelle@1180wfyl.com.
Right, and that'll be 610-539-8255. You can give us a call. That'll come through, and we'll get you in to talk to Michelle this morning. We had a wonderful interview yesterday. We spoke with two real experts on the situation in Ukraine at the moment.
Absolutely timely. It was just timely.
It was a very, very good interview. We will be replaying that at some point. We'll let you know when. And then sounds like we might even get them in back here in the studio soon.
Yes, they will be coming back on Saturday morning.
Wonderful.
Saturday morning, 11 to 12 noon.
Wonderful. Absolutely great. All righty. So, the weather this morning, if you haven't already noticed, we seem to have beaten the snow, as Susan pointed out before
we
came on. But, you know, it has been a little snowy. It was some flurries coming through. I think if I look right through the crack in the window here, we can see that there are some flurries coming down. The low today is 4. And the high today is 32, so it sounds like if we wanted it, snow's there for the taking all day, although it doesn't seem like we're going to get any more than some flurries here or there. Tomorrow it looks like we're going to have a high of 27, low of 17, not too bad. A little bit warmer on Saturday as well, going up to 42 degrees. Sunday it'll be hovering low mid-30s. Same thing for Monday, except low mid-20s. You know, so not too bad. And then more snow on Tuesday. So I think eventually on Sunday night, snow is supposed to switch over to, rain is supposed to switch over to some snow this coming Sunday and then, or Monday, and then some snow on Tuesday. So not too bad. But I hear New England's going to get another, they could get another 2 feet, certain places in New England.
This is turning out to be a difficult winter for them.
Well, I was watching the news last night, and they had images from Japan. And Japan had over 6 feet of snow fall in 3 or 4 days. So they've got the military helping dig people out because, I mean, just entire homes are covered with snow.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't had any casualties yet, no roof collapses, things like that, which is good. It's just mostly trying to get to the people so they can get them to the care centers. I imagine if your house is covered with snow, it's a little chilly in there. So who knows? But anyway, we certainly wish them the best of luck. I'm just glad it's not happening here.
So am I.
I think we've had enough of large snowfall. I think we can all move on now. We'll deal with the cold weather, but no more snow, thanks. I think right now, Susan, if you will, you have a verse you'd like to bring us this morning?
I do have a verse. Thank you, Andrew. It's Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
It's a good verse. Very, very good. Well, thank you very much for that. Unless either of you had anything you make, any comments you'd like to make on that? Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I think it speaks for itself.
It does.
All right. In the news this morning, we're going to be talking about, you know, all kinds of stuff. Is there anything in particular we would like to start out with today?
I have a joke, Andrew.
So oh, okay. Joke of the day. Let's do that.
Political joke, cartoon. And this is a student talking to the president, President Obama. And here's a student. Mr. President, I'm studying civics. Do you know the three branches of government? Sure. Me, myself, and I.
Not bad.
Unfortunately, it isn't all that funny.
It's all too true, unfortunately. It's almost not funny, but it is in a way.
I had a guy once, I asked the professor what the three branches of government were, and he said there was like, no, there's not three, there's like 10. And I was just like, okay. And part of it was like, he's like, oh, yeah, there's the, you know, like the aristocracy going on down in D.C. They're a branch. I was like, all right, I get it. You know? Okay. Excuse me. All right. Anyway, I think our the top story that everybody has been looking at, and we'll get started with it here, and then we'll probably pick it up again in our second segment, would be the Jordanians are not happy at all with what has gone on with ISIS. We made mention of them yesterday in the hanging there, prisoners of war, I guess you could call them, that they were holding. There was two terrorists that they were, I think one was a failed suicide bomber, and I'm not sure what the other one was. But they, after they saw the video of their, you know, the brutal killing of one of their own in a fire, you know, they set this guy, poor guy, on fire. They
barbaric.
It was very, very barbaric. Jordan has responded, and they led a team of bombers yesterday from Jordan through parts of Iraq. And were able to hit a lot of ISIS strongholds. It goes to show that once they put their mind to it, you know, there's footholds to be gained in the war in Iraq as well as Syria. I don't think they've started any bombing campaigns in Syria because I believe the Jordanians are a little afraid of Bashar al-Assad and what he might do in response if there's any political damage or collateral damage rather. One thing to note too though was in the first raids. So let me back up a second. Jordan is one of the only places that still has a king. There's a queen as well, and the king of Jordan has vowed that he will run out of fuel and bullets before he lets another one of their soldiers die, which I think is a fairly decent statement to make. However, in the first raids of bombings, he was the one leading it. They showed him, you know, on the plains with the army moving forward. They had the same thing. He's planning on doing another raid, and he's planning on being there for that as well. Literally hands-on leader. I guess that's the benefit of being king. You kind of have a little bit more demands when you're in a monarchy.
Well, he's supposed to be descended from the Prophet Muhammad, the one that founded the Muslim religion. So he is furious. His whole family, his dad was a military man, and their generals are warlike lineage there. So I remember his dad was almost assassinated, but because his dad knew how machine guns worked, the one soldier's going to assassinate him as he walked by, lowered his gun, and it's a typical when you shoot a submachine gun, the recoil makes the barrel rise, and so with his knowledge of military arms and everything, his father was able to step aside and avoid the assassination attempt. So these people are not, you know, they're not somebody that orders other people to die. as you said, I wouldn't be surprised, and I guess that's what you meant, that the king actually knows how to fly a jet airplane and actually led from the front. That's my kind of man.
I saw a picture of him in the flight suit with everybody else. So I'm not sure if he was the one flying the main plane, but I know that he was involved. He's vowed to continue to stay involved, and he has vowed to, again, run out of fuel and bullets.
Until he runs out of fuel and bullets, he's going to push him back.
He's going to keep going, yeah. Absolutely. Well, we do have a nice show planned for you this morning. Hopefully we can, get you all the news we want to talk about today. So we will allow that to go on. The show must go on. And we will be right back with more It's a New Day right after this. So stay right there. Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. It is just about 20 minutes past the hour. Happy Thursday to everyone out there. Thank you for joining us this morning. It is the fifth day of February. Remember, if you want to give us a call at 610-539-8255. Email us at info@1180. Also, in a few minutes, we're going to be having Michelle Faustin in here, and you can email your questions to her about accelerating your business to what, Susan?
AskMichelle@1180WFYL.com.
Wonderful. Well, that's good there. During the break, Al made a mention that, Susan says that the headline this morning on many news sites are fuel and bullets. The vow that the king made that we just mentioned, that he vows that he will continue to fight against ISIS until they run out of fuel and bullets.
We should not allow him to run out of bullets, and I'm sure some of the Arab countries will not allow him to run out of fuel.
I wonder if this will cause closer ties with countries like Israel and Jordan. I remember... Syria and Jordan almost went to war because there was Syrian aircrafts that were flying through Jordan, or vice versa. One of them was shot down. I don't know if it was a Jordanian plane or a Syrian plane, but somebody got shot down, and it almost brought them into that conflict. And they decided to stay out of it still. But I guess the last straw was broken with such a barbaric act that was taken against their nation.
Well, Muslim scholars all over the Middle East are denouncing this barbaric act. And this could be a turning point, I hope so, to realize how really barbaric these people are. When a fellow Muslim, to kill a man like that is, they kill whole Christian villages. I mean, that's enough to make me upset. I mean, really upset, women and children. But when a Muslim gets killed and burned to death, it seems like that's striking a bigger chord over there, which maybe we'll have time, Andrew, to talk about the 75,000 refugees from Syria. Once again, I think we should slant it toward Christians because they're discriminated against over there. I don't mind letting some Muslims in. Obviously, you got to respect everybody, but it's hard to see 200 churches burned and whole villages evacuated, driven from their ancestral home, which they've had for 1,000, 2,000 years. So I'm very sympathetic to the Christians in that part of the world.
Mm. I hear you. Yeah, no, it's... It's a strange conflict over that. And again, I hope it's, brought to the more of a world stage with what's been going on now. Maybe the Jordanians can rally the Egyptians and Israelis to their cause. That would be a pretty decent coalition. I know that the United Arab Emirates has stopped airstrikes in Iraq. I think most of the airstrikes that are sanctioned are in Iraq, not in Syria, because I think everybody kind of fears that what Syria will do in retaliation. Again, if there's collateral damage, I can't imagine that Bashar al-Assad really cares too much for his citizens in the first place, if he's willing to gas them. But, you know, he's still in... When you look at that part of the world, who's in charge of removing the chemical weapons from Syria? The Russians. So, you know, we can't rule out anything that is going on there still. You know, as we mentioned yesterday, we had a whole show about Russian aggression in Ukraine. So, you know, when we talk about Syria, we talk about their chemical weapons arsenal. Yeah, Russia's in charge of removing that. It's a tricky situation to which basically creates a power vacuum. You move everybody around. You just kind of scramble up Iraq yet again, and then they move just over the border into Syria. You know, they move right from Iraq into Syria. And then
they're beefing up. The U.S. military is beefing up the air and rescue operation, helicopters, and so on and so forth. The rescue down pilots. So maybe the UAE, United Arab Emirates, will re-engage once that's done.
I wonder about Saudi Arabia as well, what they're doing, what kind of steps they're taking. I know they're still mourning the loss of their king, Abdullah. But right. Both King Abdullahs, by the way, I think. I don't know if I read that wrong, but I thought that they were both King Abdullahs. But we'll check on that for you. Well, Al, you know, you just made a kind of a mention of helicopters going to pick folks up. You brought up an interesting point because we were talking about this before the show came on, about Ukraine, at least. We were talking about tank battles that were fought there during World War II, and how that could be a large battleground for tank warfare again.
That's right. The Ukraine was... a huge battleground, tank battleground. It's a huge plain there mostly. And essentially, this brought to mind World War II history, but also the fact that our military, and this is really irritating to me, outrageous actually, they're thinking about doing away with the A-10 Warthog, our primary tank killer. We don't have a new one. They're just going to do away with the old one. And the old one is really a first-class airplane. It basically has a Gatling gun, big Gatling gun in the front that shoots depleted uranium rounds. It's a known, proven resource. And with this conflict in the Ukraine, we need that plane. Congress should fund that plane. Congress should start up the production line on that plane and restart it. And basically, this is something that we absolutely need. Now, beyond that, this brought to mind the helicopters that this administration bought, like 60 helicopters, Russian helicopters, for the Afghan military. And this is a big, big item here. It's a big, big item for me because in Ridley Park, we make the Chinook helicopters right now. It's in production. We could have made those helicopters for the Afghan military. And for them to spend $1 billion, whatever it is, to provide 60 Russian helicopters to Afghanistan is an outrage. It's, as things develop over there in the Ukraine, where we're confronting tanks and the same kind of helicopters in the air, we need to reconsider things and basically put our house in order. That this is a huge mistake, and if there's any way to cancel that order, it should be canceled. The Russians, and this station was the one that broke it, was just found out to providing over $125 million to bribe organizations in this country like the Sierra Club to try and shut down fracking in this country. So the Russians don't want us to be fuel efficient. They don't want us to have cheap energy. They want us to be reliant, so the gas prices stay up. But the Russians are turning out to be a real danger to the viability of the United States, and they need to be recognized as such.
Very well said. We have to go to commercial break. We'll be right back. Listen in. Michelle Fastis is going to be bringing us her take in just a few minutes. Stay right there. Good morning. Welcome back to It's a New Day here at 1180 WFYL. As I mentioned before the break, we have in our studios right now with us a guest more frequently on the show now, but her name, as you well know, is Michelle Faustin. Michelle, how are you this morning?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Wonderful. I'm doing good. I'm doing well, actually. Susan would like me to say I'm doing good. So I wanted to welcome you back to the program and ask you what we are talking about today.
What I'm going to talk about?
What are we talking about?
Oh, what are we talking about? Okay.
I don't need to talk at all. You can talk, but I just wanted to. What's the topic of conversation for this morning?
Okay. Well, we are launching a new program, as I believe you are well aware, called Accelerating Your Business, and that is exactly what this program is for. I'm here, and we are here to help you with whatever business questions that you have as it relates to growing your business and taking it to the next level.
Wonderful. Well, why don't you educate us a little bit on how to do that?
Well, when people want to grow their businesses, and I say people loosely, so usually that's a business owner. If it's a larger company, an executive, they're really in three different situations. The first one is they're already growing at whatever pace, and they've decided that, you know what, right now it's time for us to grow in an accelerated way. We want to double our size. We want to greatly improve. We want to enter a new market, a new space, a new area, something in a big way. And when you're doing things in a different big way, you typically have to do them a little bit differently than have you've been doing them in the past. The second bucket of people are those who are not growing at all. They're losing money. Maybe they've been stuck for quite a long time, and they're in a place where they don't want to fold. They don't want to give up, but they actually want to get the resources and tools that they need to get to that place where they can get back to growth and then also grow in a big way. And then I would say the third area or the third bucket are people who have a growing business, and that business might be growing rapidly by leaps and bounds. However, they have concerns on how they can properly manage it. As you know, there are many companies and businesses, small and large, that get to a place where they grow so fast that they actually end up losing money and kind of busting at the seams one day because they weren't able to manage it effectively. And so this is really a holistic kind of soup to nuts show to kind of help you with all the questions that you have as it relates to those three areas. Again, if you're a very small company or even a large one.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to start that right now. So okay. If you have anything that you'd like to say, take it away. The helm is yours.
Okay, no problem. Well, again, this is a call-in radio show program, part of the program, again, called Accelerating Your Business. If you'd like to call in with any of your business questions, please call at area code 610-539-8255. That stands for 539-TALK, or 877-667-1180. Okay, so we'll start off again with the first area, and I'll just continue talking until we get some of the listeners calling in with their questions. I will gladly interrupt for that. If we talk about the first bucket, so the first one, like I said, is when you are trying to grow your business in a big way. And I'll give an example. I worked with a company, a small advertising company who had been around for about 20 years. They actually grew to about $5 million in revenue, which is a great feat for a lot of companies, but it took them 20 years to do it. And all of a sudden, the business owner decided that she wanted to retire in 5 years. She wanted to exit. And so before she did, she wanted to double the business in size, go from $5 million to $10 million in just a few years. She was very scared, because she had never grown that fast before in her entire life. Every year was very, very conservative, very small. She didn't know exactly how she was going to go about shifting, given that she already had customers she served, and she felt that she already had the staff she needed to serve the clientele that she had. They were busting at the seams as it is, working overtime and things of that nature. But yet, she felt like she still wanted to achieve this goal. And so I came in to help her to figure out, okay, well, you know, what do you need to do from here? Who exactly do you want to go after? What are your resources? What are you best suited for? And broke down in terms of the strategy from there. Okay. Sorry, I'm getting a call that there's a caller coming in. So as I said, I will stop as the caller comes in. So we can listen to the caller right now.
This is Will from Lansdale. Will, you're on the air at WFYL with Michelle.
Hi, Will. How are you?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Okay. Sorry about that. Yes. Good morning, Michelle. I'm fine. Hey, just started reading your book. Fascinating so far. I'm looking forward to reading it all the way through.
Thank you.
My question this morning is, I know there's different procedures and policies that companies have to put in place in order for them to grow properly. How does morale fit into the picture of company growth? And, you know, how does it have a negative or positive effect on a company's growth?
Okay. Well, thank you
for your call, Will.
Thank you for your question, Will, and for your call. Yes, I will go with the morale question first and then the policies and procedures second, because honestly, policies and procedures is a little bit easier. So anytime you want to promote any kind of change in any type of organization, there is going to be some, I would say, pushback and this human response, right? So some parts of your organization may be very excited because they may want to see you go through this new phase. Others are going to push back because people have a tendency to become very comfortable, where they can become very accustomed to how things are. Sometimes they can be very stubborn, whether they say it outwardly or through kind of passive aggressive behavior. So you want to get the morale going by, I think, doing a couple of things, at least what I found in the companies that I've worked with and for over the years. The first thing is to just be very transparent. I think sometimes, depending on the size or the structure of the company or even just the temperament of the business owner, you may tend to keep things to yourself and only communicate as necessary. But it's important oftentimes when you're going to get people on board to really be very open with them, be very clear about what it is that you're trying to do. Get their feedback as well. Now, granted, you don't need their permission, but you do still want to get their feedback because some of it can be very helpful, you know, as you're going through what you need to do to grow. And then others, honestly, will help you to delineate who is going to continue on with you, who will be willing to change, willing to be continue to be teachable, and then who you might have to maybe shift a little bit because when you're going into a big way and you're going into growth, sometimes it's too hard for people. Most of the time, though, I find that people are willing to change. You can get the morale going because you have to make them believe. And once you share that information, once you're open with them, you're very clear in what you're doing. Again, you incorporate them because you do have to take into consideration your employees who are extremely valuable people and, of course, assets if you're thinking in terms of a company standpoint. You know, get them to that place and then just really bring them along. And I find that the more they feel they're involved, the more they believe you can do it, is the more that you'll actually be able to get them to that place of morale because you are going to need them to execute whatever you have. In terms of policies and procedures, well, those you just, of course, again, want to make sure they're clear, that they're reasonable, that they are in alignment with the growth strategy that you have. So, you know, those things are very important as well because anyone can come up with any cookie cutter policy and procedure that really doesn't relate to your specific business, and you want to make sure that you don't do that. You do it something that makes sense. Also, I just would say thank you for reading my book. I didn't want to lose that. I do have a book, and I mentioned in the beginning, it's called How to Grow Your Business in Times of Feast or Famine. And it does include a lot of the practices and tools we'll talk about here. But thank you very much for your call, Will. I hope I answered your question.
Now we have Joey also. He's going to be calling us. So Joey, you're on the air with 1180 WFYL. Your question for Michelle?
Yeah, hi. First, I want to say thanks for this platform. This is a good idea for you guys to do this, to give this type of show. I have a question. I'm looking at starting a business, and kind of like more of a sports. It's like a lot of sports indoor facilities that are going up in my area, and you know, for kids to you know, to play all kinds of sports, you know, football, basketball, baseball. And I want to know about purchasing, you know, they seem to be in a lot of warehouse area districts where these places are growing up. So, you know, how do I come up with the money? How do I go about finding places like that? Or, you know, gauging someone's interest to buy into it, you know, like to, in my venture, how would I, you know, go about doing that?
Well, first, again, thank you very much for your call, Joey. And that's great that you want to grow this business and you're seeing a lot of other companies and organizations do this. It's so needed for our communities. I would say the first thing is you first want to take a look at where the need is, right? So before you look for any kind of location, even before you think about raising money, yes, it's good to think about location, but first think about need. Where are the children located? Where are they mostly families? Where are there areas where they're not these indoor facilities currently? Because you can get get a warehouse that's available, but if it's a mile away from an existing indoor sports facility, then it may not make the most sense for you, right? Because then you'll be competing against someone who's nearby. So try to find one where, again, there's available space, where people will have a need, where they will have the discretionary income to be able to pay whatever it is, or if you need to partner with other organizations to help you pay, or to help serve the people that you're trying to serve to pay. So that's the first thing you need to do. And the second part, after you do that, and I call that due diligence or your research to figure that out, then you go through in terms of trying to get the financing. And the best way to go about doing that is to put together an extensive business plan, a strategic plan, to try to do it yourself. If you can do it yourself, to definitely, you know, get someone to help you to do that and retain someone to help you. And then you'll, you know, make sure that you go to the proper bank or other lending organizations to be able to do it. There's tons of small business organizations. There's a lot of money out there, but I think the misnomer that people have is that just because there's money out there, if you're not prepared and you really and truly do not have a business model, not just an idea, but an actual business model and a business plan together, the likelihood of you getting that money is actually going to be a little bit lower than if you just kind of go out there to kind of get it. So the biggest thing, do your research, you know, definitely prepare. Again, make sure you can actually bring something different to the table and make sure that, you know, this is an area that, you know, you believe will be successful, not just based on your passion, which is, that's of course, going to drive you through, but based on the actual numbers and analytics as well.
All right, Michelle, we do have a little bit of time left, just about 30 seconds. I did want to interject. There are a lot of those businesses, Joey, in Conshohocken. Conshohocken Road has a lot of warehouses and things like that that have been turned into sports complexes. There's mm-hmm. a golfing outing over there as well. Mm-hmm. Also, there's YMCAs all over the place. Mm-hmm. So it kind of sounds like that may be what he's headed towards as well. We do have to head a commercial break, as I said. We are going to be right back. We do have some more callers calling in, so Michelle, you've got a full docket for the rest of your morning here. So
okay,
we'll be right back.
Good morning, everyone. It's Michelle Faustin. Again, I'm here for Accelerating Your Business. I believe we have a few other callers on the line. So if we can go to William, that'd be great. William?
William, it seems like William went off the line there. Will, if you can, call us back at 1180 WFYL.
Okay.
But the next caller we do still have.
Okay, and that is Caroline. Caroline, are yes. are you on the phone?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem. So what is your business question this morning?
I do have a business question. I'm thinking of going into business. So what is the best option for small business owners? Is it an LLC or an S corporation?
You know, honestly, it really depends. That is something I would say that you probably want to speak to a tax accountant about, because there really are benefits in terms of both of them, in terms of, you know, for tax purposes. I don't know your exact situation. I don't know the business model. I don't know the setup. So I know that's a question a lot of business owners have in terms of LLC, S-Corp, sole proprietorship. But honestly, I think you'd be best served by speaking to a tax attorney.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Okay. And then I believe we have Carlene.
I think that might have been Carolyn. Carlyn. So.
Oh, that was Carlyn.
That was her.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. I apologize.
After William, William, if you're listening still, please call back. We'd love to answer your question.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I apologize. I thought the name was Carolyn, so I apologize, Carlene. Thank you very much for calling in. But yes, those detailed types of questions is ones that I definitely feel is best served by someone, again, who is in the tax profession. But I definitely appreciate the call. Okay, well, while we're waiting for William to give us a call back, I will continue on with the overview of the show as we started, as I talked about a little bit before. You know, I believe I mentioned already in terms of companies when they are trying to expand and they are trying to figure out, you know, what is the best way to do that? Again, a lot of companies only have limited resources. So, you know, when you only have a small amount of money, you actually have to decide, and you have to really be very strategic and thoughtful about how you're going to invest it, to make sure that wherever you invest and however you invest is what's going to bring you back the return that you need for your company to get to that place of growth. Again, a lot of times people say, okay, I want to grow. It's time for me to go ahead and do that. But then when it actually comes time to doing it, they kind of do it in a way that may just be based on gut emotion. They may do it in a way that is based on what happened in the past, meaning like we've done it this way before. Let's just see if we can do it again, even though the past might have been 10 or 20 years ago and what worked then doesn't necessarily work now. So I think being able to know how to take a look, take a step back, figure out where you want to go. And then, like I said, do the research, do the tools and resources in terms of, you know, who are we going to serve now? Where can we best invest? How are we going to get the best return back? You know, what markets should we enter? Or if we're in a market right now, which one should we further penetrate? Meaning like if we can get more and sell more for what we're doing. And then like I mentioned before, for those who don't have a specific goal, if you do have a new product or you do have a new service in place, then you want to make sure that it's actually a product and service that you can figure out, okay, this is how big it can actually be based on how big we are and the resources we have in terms of money, in terms of people, in terms of alliances that we can make, how can we go about doing that? In terms of the second area, as I mentioned earlier, you know, when you're not growing anymore and you're not making any money, it can be a very tough thing psychologically. It can also be a very, very, very tough thing just to live. Again, if you are a business owner and definitely a small one, your business is your complete livelihood. And so when the business goes up, technically you go up. When the business goes down, it's a struggle. And so, you know, when you get to that place where you feel like you're hitting a brick wall, which again, many companies do, it can be very frustrating. But if you decide that you want to fight that through, again, the biggest thing is to first figure out, okay, exactly, you know, try to go back and say, well, what was the point where we stopped growing? You know, sometimes it's good to kind of pinpoint that. And then you try to go and do the work to kind of figure out, okay, did you stop growing because of something internal? Meaning there's something going on with our company, something going on with our organization. A lot of times people know when there are problems within their organization, but they don't address them until it gets to a point where they just kind of, let's say, explode a little bit, you know, where these issues come up, whether a person explodes or a process explodes or some kind of customer relationship explodes. But in essence, something explodes because certain issues weren't addressed. So if it's an internal issue, being able to do that is extremely imperative before you can get to any place, because it's important to make sure that the foundation is laid correctly and properly for any kind of business, whether you're already growing or whether you want to. Even with the earlier caller, Joey, and his idea, which is a fantastic one, you know, again, he has to have the right foundation in place before he just kind of goes and runs and executes that idea. And for any business that's been involved or been in business for a long period of time, it's the same thing. So fixing that foundation first, fixing those cracks is something that's important. And then after that, then I believe that, you know, you go from there and now you figure out, okay, here's where we are. Now let's look at if we had any issues in terms of what's going on outside of us, right? There's something, a fancy word, the external marketplace. But all that really means is, okay, you know, we haven't been growing for a certain period of time. We're stagnating or we're losing money. All right, what's going on outside of us? Because that's also our hard question sometimes. You can get so busy with your day to day that you oftentimes you forget. You say, all right, well, you know, we're running, we're doing this, we're doing that, but now we're trying to grow. Now we're trying to get to this place, get out of this hump, but we really haven't looked outside of ourselves. You know, do our customers still want the same things that they wanted before? You know, does the marketplace changing? You know, do we have any competitors that came in that we really just never thought about? Because we figured if we just do a good job, then competitors don't matter. So I think knowing that and understanding that is something that's very important as well. Again, and once those questions are asked and answered and the work is done to be able to resolve that, then you can start looking into, okay, now we figured out what the problem is. Now we want to actually go forward and move forward. And we actually want to go ahead and grow now. So I think those things are very important. And then for the last bucket I talked about before, in terms of managing your growth, that's also something that is very important to do. Like I mentioned, you know, a lot of companies get to a place where they're growing really fast. And for some of that, there can be startups where they start off and it just keeps on going. Or it can actually be, you know, a larger company, a division, a business that's been around for a while, and you're in a great, 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 fantastic mode where you're growing very quickly. quickly. But again, you know, when you're growing very quickly, there are also things that you need to pay attention to, also foundationally, but making sure that you have what you need in place. A lot of times people don't have the right number of people in place to handle or manage what they need, and they get to a place where they can no longer serve their customers, or they get to a place where they actually feel like they actually need more in terms of, you know, additional resources. They need to start shifting sometimes, where you go from doing everything your own and doing everything yourself to now understanding, you know what, there's probably certain things that we need to bring on certain firms for, certain people for, to help us with, because it doesn't make sense for us to do everything now. You know, you can probably leverage and be more cost effective and time effective by being able to do those things. So those are pretty much, I would say, the main areas that business owners and people tend to have, whether you're, again, you're starting a business or you're already running one. And this is the platform that we are providing from you every Thursday morning from 7:34 to 8 a.m. to be able to help you with this. So we hope that you take advantage of this resource. It's here to serve you with what you need. And so, you know, we're very happy to have had this platform to be able to do it. And we appreciate the callers who have called in, but we definitely want, you know, others to call in and be able to use this resource as well, because we know that honestly, you know, if someone needs this, and they need to go and find people to retain them, it can be very, you know, very expensive, and not everyone can afford that. And even for those who do have it, having a fresh set of eyes or a next set of ears to be able to listen into those pressing questions is something that we want to be able to provide for you. So it's going to be, again, Accelerating Your Business every Thursday morning from 7:34 to 8 a.m. right after the Fox News break, hosted by me, Michelle Faustin. I'm president and CEO of MJF Strategy, and author of How to Grow Your Business in Times of Feast or Famine, as one of the other earlier call-ins referenced to. To date, I've worked with over 45 companies in 21 industries. It's but a lot. So I feel that I am comfortable enough to answer whatever questions that you have, all business sizes. And we look forward to being able to hear from you again in the future. So thank you so much again for calling in. And I look forward to talking to you and speaking to you next week.